Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the Rise of the Micro Brands.
Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm.
Okay, today we have first-time guest from Beast Gear. Let's try that again. Today we have our first-time guest from Beast Gear, Ben Leonard, and we're going to be talking about a variety of different things. But one of the things that's really cool is that we always like talking to people that have exited successfully. So he's going to talk about how he's done it and how he hit the business holy grail, as well as email marketing and a variety of other topics. So before we get going, where are you, Kels?
Hello.
Hey. How like I said, doing? Just before we get on, right? The Amber Alert happened, and it jolted me, and my shoulder went out.
Yeah, for those that don't know, when there's like an Amber Alert, it's like a siren that goes off on your phone, and it's so sudden that, it's...
Yeah, how do you throw your shoulder out
during an Amber Alert? I don't know. That is impressive, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
Man, but, man. So what are we doing, Kels?
All right, so you guys know what to do. Smash those like buttons. Follow us on YouTube. That's where all the good stuff is. The highlights, the full episodes. If you ever miss an episode, don't know where to go to, you just head over there. Welcome everyone. We got a good group here already. We got Yarrow, Rad, welcome, Mero,
Dr. Kaz, Manny.
Ooh, yeah. Jalapeno bagel. I like that. But we have a prize today too, so stick around for that. It's a good one. We also have some giveaways from the e-com brokers that Ben is giving us. So yeah, we really appreciate that. So stick around for that. And we have our weekly clubhouse on Mondays. We have a club. And actually next week we don't have a clubhouse because we are changing the schedule just for the one day for March 15th. We have a lunch with Norm at 2:00.
Why, Kelsey?
Because it's my birthday. No, but we have a big guest. We have Rand Fishkin from Moz coming on. And we had to change up the schedule a little bit. But so that's going to be a great episode. So
And just if like you don't Simon know says, Moz, check it out. So yeah. He's the CEO, founder of Moz. And he's going to be talking about some really cool SEO. Just what's happening, what to look out for in 2021.
Yeah, so let us know what you think of email marketing in 2021 in the comments section. Are you using it? Do you feel comfortable with it? And we're also going to be talking about scaling too, so it's going to be a good episode.
All right, now go. There we go. You got to get used to this mirrored image. All right, so if you have any questions, throw them over into the comments section. We're going to do our best to get to them. If you don't, we'll try to answer them in the group. All right, hey Tony, how's it going? Simon, good to see you again. Okay, so sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, enjoy the show, and welcome. Where are you, Ben?
Hey, here I am. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I got to tell you, it is. I'm sitting here and I'm trying to pick up my bloody coffee, my can of Coke, and my shoulder is popped. So if you see me doing this, it's not because I'm really excited. I am excited. It's I'm kind of just that you get that shock going through your arm.
What is an Amber Alert?
Oh, it's when there's alert when there might be a child missing. Somebody might have taken a child, or so it comes up on your phone, but it just doesn't kind of go start up and slowly. It just goes bang.
So not like a national thing?
It's a national thing, yeah. I mean, it's well worth it. But you're driving in your car and that happens. Or like what happened today, I was just doing something and all of a sudden, like I had this jolt and now my arm's out. And, how does your arm go out listening to an Amber Alert? But in case you see me making a grimacing or just having this little shock, that's the reason why. And it just happened just before we came on today. Oh, so man. That's one of the reasons why I was a little bit late here. But hey, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and you know, what you're going to be talking about.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. My name is Ben Leonard, and I'm over in Scotland in the UK. I built and scaled and then sold an e-commerce brand. I sold it in late 2019, and I can tell you quite a lot about it because a lot of it's public domain, because the buyer uses me and that brand in a lot of their PR, so it's all public domain. So that was a brand of fitness equipment called Beast Gear. I actually had no background in e-commerce. I'm an ecologist by trade. I'm a fully qualified whale and dolphin geek. And although I'm no longer a professional whale and dolphin geek, I'm still a whale and dolphin geek. In late 2015, early 2016, I got quite ill with a heart problem. It was the third time I had it, and I had to stop all my fitness hobbies like CrossFit, boxing, lifting heavy weights, running, and take a lot of drugs for about 9 months. And I needed something to do that would keep me in touch with those hobbies, although I couldn't actually do them. And so I had this idea to start a brand of fitness equipment. And that was called Beast Gear. It turns out I was actually pretty good at it, pretty good at e-commerce. I scaled it up to mid seven figures. I sold it in late 2019, and that was actually Thrasio's second European acquisition.
Oh, wow.
And now I guess I'm doing three things. I'm building new brands, partly because I enjoy it, and I want to build brands with a view to selling them again. And I'm building new brands also because I need to still have skin in the game and still be kind of in the trenches in e-commerce, because it's such a fast-moving industry, and I need to have an understanding of what's going on if I'm going to consult with my clients, because I do consulting for business owners, and if I'm going to help people exit their business, because I have started an e-commerce brokerage, or I like to think of it as a brokerage plus, really, called Ecom Brokers, which was started on the back end of selling my business and going through that process. So that's me, and that's what I do. And an important part of that brand was the off Amazon website and the email marketing that I did for that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, I think.
You know, just on email marketing. So I have a lead generation company that we create lists, you know, for, well, we use it ourselves, you know, just to target and email, do email marketing as well as Facebook ads. And I've tried to market that list company to many Amazon sellers that I thought could fit. Mm. I didn't have a taker because nobody knew all these names, knew nothing about how to market a list with either Facebook or through email marketing. And I was astonished. Mm. You know, and I'm not talking about one or two people, probably some very well-known brands out there that were just not using email lists, you know, at all in their marketing. So when you when I saw what you were doing and some of the topics you wanted to cover, that's so important, is that you know, email marketing, you know, off Amazon, and people, I mean, people are not doing it, and there's a lot of people are just saying it's a useless. Well, it's not useless. You know, you can get some great sales from it. So I would like to go down that, but right now one of the things I wanted to talk about, because you were able to scale your brand really quickly, what were some of your main strategies there? And another thing here, so sorry about this, this is my bloody arm. What about, okay, this might sound a little crazy, but what did Sonic the Hedgehog have to do with it?
Yeah, okay, so Sonic the Hedgehog. It depends who's listening, right? Some people might remember the Sega Mega Drive, right, from the early 90s. But whatever, you've hopefully heard of Sonic the Hedgehog, right? The little hedgehog dude in the video games. He jumps through hoops or rings to score more points, right? And one of the strategies that really paid off for me in scaling my business was jumping through hoops. So quite often in business, you'll see a barrier on the road up ahead of you, and your initial reaction is, oh no, like another thing, right? Another fire to fight, another problem to solve, another hoop to jump through. But if you take a step back and think about it and take a deep breath, you'll often realize that actually the reward for jumping through that hoop is worth it. And many times your competitors cannot be bothered to jump through the hoop. So they turn around in the path and go back in the other direction. So for instance, with my business, I remember when I first had to jump through all the hoops. So I started selling in the UK on Amazon and on my own website. And I remember when I first had to jump through all the hoops to get VAT registered in France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Poland, and the Czech Republic, and later Austria, in order to sell in continental Europe. And it was painful. I mean, the amount of bureaucracy, particularly in Spain, getting stuff translated by only selected translators who were registered with the right correct authorities in Spain, and then having that translation notarized by a notary in the UK, right? Whatever that is, really. And then, you know, special stamps applied and all this stuff, which takes a lot of time. And the process was so painful. At one point, I thought they were going to come around and, you know, scan my retinas. That's how much information they wanted. But after I jumped through all the hoops, my sales practically doubled. And I emerged ahead of all the competition. And, you know, there's many things like that, right? Not necessarily VAT, but other issues that you come upon where it would be very easy to just say, I can't be bothered. But when you jump through the hoop, like Sonic the Hedgehog, the reward can be fantastic. So that's what Scott Sonic the Hedgehog had to do with scaling the business.
Okay. So, and you know, that's so true. I like to take a look at that as, you know, barriers to entry. You know, if you can create those and the other people aren't going to do it, then that's awesome. Yep. When you were creating all these, because you had to register within all those countries, all the translations, I mean, how did you go about doing that? I know, like you said, in Spain, but did you just outsource to a single translation company? What did you do?
So translating like the listings or for like actually?
Yeah, translating the listings, oh, okay, packaging. Yeah.
So a variety of things. I had some, you know, when I very first started back in 2016, I translated my listings. This was before, so to store my stock in Europe, I had to register for VAT across Europe, which was the big headache that I just mentioned. But I could still sell in Europe, but customers had to have it shipped from the UK. So I had to translate my listings straight off the bat. And I did the classic thing that people did when they were learning about this back in 2016. I went on Fiverr. And I found some pretty good people on there. And eventually, as you do, you take them off of Fiverr and they become your tame translator. And, you know, you deal with them through Gmail. And then, so I found several good people that way, Germans, Italians, and then one of them actually was fantastic and she started her own agency and she was able to get quite a lot of translations for me. And then because, you know, the UK, well, we've left the EU now, but we're still part of Europe as it were, with Europe being small and me having contacts, you know, across Europe, just, you know, personal contacts, it's possible once you've had your translations done that way to just run them past some native speakers of those languages and say, hey, does this make sense A as a translation, but B, you know, from the point of view of a consumer, it's no use just having like an academic translation done. Can you hear a 2-year-old crying in the background?
I can.
Yes, that's my 2-year-old. I'm sure my wife.
And they're doing what 2-year-olds are supposed to do.
That is what they're doing. Yeah. So, you know, then have your translations run past some actual other native speakers other than your translators to check that it makes sense, you know, from the per point of view of a consumer. It's no use just having your translation sort of academically translated. It needs to make sense as a good listing in itself, if you see what I mean.
You know, I made the mistake with one of my brands. So I was registering it over in Japan. So I went out and I bought the name Soap Club. So, okay. I thought that was good. I thought I got the name. You know, I didn't think I would. Well, the translation I used for soap meant brothel. I had That's no funny. Idea. So I guess I got a lot of external traffic just because of that. But
yeah, you may be attracting the wrong sort of traffic.
Yeah, maybe. But anyways, so let's talk about, you know, off Amazon and external traffic. So why and how did you drive off Amazon sales?
So the why originally started because I was trying to build, for two reasons, actually. Reason number one is I was trying to build a legitimate brand, right? A group of products to solve a problem or a group of related problems for a particular group of people. In my case, fans of fitness and, you know, in particular, CrossFit, boxing, and heavy weightlifting like powerlifting. So kind of three sub niches within that, rather than just building a group of creating a bunch of stuff to sell on Amazon, as a lot of people did, you know, in the early days. And to have that legitimate brand, I needed to have off Amazon assets like a website, like an Instagram and other social media accounts. The second reason was that back with Brand Registry 1.0, we needed to simply have a website to register for a brand registry. So that was, you know, one of the first things that I did. And my first website was a terrible WordPress site where you couldn't even buy my stuff. You just clicked a button and landed on my Amazon listing. And then later, I created a pretty good Shopify site. And then the how was, you know, having a good developer develop that site. And then, you know, I treated that site as part of the overall picture. You know, people say, should I do Amazon or should I have an off Amazon website? The answer is do both, right? Amazon is where the eyeballs are. Everybody's going to Amazon. Not everybody is necessarily placing their final order on Amazon. Or if they are, they're often reassured by seeing an off Amazon website. Oh, this looks legit. They've got their own website. There's their YouTube channel. There's their Instagram. There's the Facebook page. So, you know, that was very important. I guess I used Amazon as a way to acquire customers and then on the back end, drive them back to my site where they're my customer. I can remarket to them. Jeff isn't taking 15%. That's not to say I don't want my customers to go back and buy from me on Amazon. I know full well that a significant proportion of them will, just because it's easy. They've got a Prime account. They're comfortable. They like doing it. That's absolutely fine. But if I can get them onto my website and get their email address, whether from a lead magnet or placing another order with me, because they've received the discount that was in the insert, then wonderful. And I can now remarket to them and use, for instance, email marketing to drive sales both on my website and on Amazon.
Okay, very good. Hey, one of the things I forgot to do right at the beginning, you're giving away some pretty cool stuff today, or we are. And you want to just describe a little bit about what we're going to do at the end of the podcast?
Sure. I am going to give away, or I'm going to create for the winner, an automated email flow for your off Amazon store. So you're going to need to have or be willing to get Klaviyo, which is, in my opinion, the greatest invention.
Isn't that great? That app is great, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's the best invention since the wheel.
Yeah,
it's absolutely phenomenal. So I use email to drive up to, well, around about 33% average website revenue comes from email. So for all those people that say email is dead or, you know, email is second to chatbots, they are simply wrong. And an often higher percentage during particular peak times. And much of that revenue, like 20%, is automated, right? Set and forget. So yeah, Klaviyo, right. I'm going to build an automated email flow for the winner for their off Amazon site. And they need to have or be willing to get Klaviyo, which rocks.
Awesome. And what about, you know, possibly guys that have garden gnomes? Mm-hmm. Would you do an automated email flow for them? Absolutely. No, just joking.
No, but Norm, it rocks. Like, you can build a brand around any niche, right?
Yeah.
And there are enough people out there that love garden gnomes that will get super duper excited about receiving your emails about garden gnomes.
Well, then we'll have to talk.
If somebody has a garden gnome brand and they win, then I'm gonna do them some really good gnome emails.
Well, you know, so the best way to get a hold or enter the account, guys. I'm off today because of this bloody shoulder. So Ken, if you haven't heard just before we came on, I just popped it and a little bit of pain here. Put in hashtag I love Ben and to be entered in. And at the end of the podcast, we can spin the wheel of Kelsey and all is good. Okay. Let's talk about the role of email marketing in 2021.
Sure. So I just mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, I use email to drive a lot of revenue. In my opinion, it's the most profitable and opportunity-rich channel for e-commerce. That's even after we talk about SMS and chatbots, et cetera, et cetera. You can use email for an awful lot of stuff. So, or let's just for a second make some assumptions. You've got an your brand. You're building a legitimate brand. You're not just selling stuff. And you have an off Amazon website, okay? Because we all know that there are certain restrictions with what you can and can't do with Amazon's email system. That's kind of a different kettle of fish. But certainly email marketing to your own list, which you've assimilated through your own site, is an important part of the whole Amazon equation, if you like. So you can use email for a lot of stuff. You can use it straight off the bat. You need to be sending helpful, useful, engaging, free, compelling content to your customers and potential customers to help them know, like, and trust you, and to nurture them and to provide value. And when
you're not just hitting them with promo.
No, you can't.
Value.
Yes, it's the classic, as anyone, you know, I'm sure a lot of people listening, I hope they have read Jab, 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 Right Hook by Gary Vaynerchuk. You know, obviously that's more of about social media, but the premise is the same. It's about give, ask, right? So you give tons of value through helpful, yep, free, engaging, compelling, useful content, and then you ask for the sale. And when you do this, you're building up this sense of reciprocity, so that when you do ask for the sale, people are like, well, actually, that has provided me with a ton of value. And looking at all of that has reminded me about their products, which solve problems that I have, fix my pain point. So I'm going to buy from them. So that's the first thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Content. We can use email to, for instance, send social proof, right? Perhaps we've got testimonials or pictures, mm-hmm, or videos that we can send to our list of people using our products. Of course, we can ask for the sale, right? And there's the, you know, that might just be seasonal sales because it's Christmas, it's Mother's Day, it's Valentine's Day, whatever it is. Might be an end of season, or might be that you're launching a new product. So you could use your off Amazon email list, which typically is buying from your website, to launch a product on Amazon. There's no reason you can't cross-pollinate the two. People get into panic. They say, oh, but if I launch my Amazon product to my list that typically I'd send to my website, they're all going to like never buy from my website again and just go back to Amazon every time. Well, A, that's not true. And B, even if it is true, who cares? They're still buying from you. Okay, you're giving away 15% to Jeff, but you're probably ranking better and you're going to improve your organic sales on Amazon anyway, right? So it's win-win-win. It's not something to worry about. You can use email to cross-sell, right? We have the freedom when we're emailing our own customers on our own website to cross-sell. Can't really do that very well on Amazon. So somebody's just bought your knitting needles, right? Because you have a knitting brand, and you're going to cross-sell them some wool, or you're going to cross-sell them a special case for their knitting needles, or whatever it might be. What about having a VIP club, right? You've segmented your list based on their behavior. This is the great thing about email, right? When you're using a powerful tool like Klaviyo, you collect so much data. You can segment your list based on lots of information about your customers and potential customers based on their behavior. So you could set up a VIP club, segmenting your list based on whether A, whether people have opted in to join your VIP club, or B, just on how much they've spent, how many times they've ordered from you, you know, whatever criteria you may wish to choose. Email special deals to those people first. And then there's the really basic stuff, which is just no-brainers and absolutely, you know, makes money while you sleep, you know, abandoned cart flows or abandoned checkout flows, really. So somebody's come on your website, they've added something to the cart, they've gone to the checkout, they typed in their email address, the phone's rang, the kid's crying, the dog's barking, the delivery guy's come to the door. They just thought, oh, I'll buy it later. Well, let's send them some emails and get them back in there and get them across the line to complete the sale. You know, lots and lots of stuff. Do you want me to, I can go on, or?
We can definitely go on. I just wanted to add that one of the things that we do is that we'll create with these emails a really beautiful newsletter. And it, yep, takes 2 seconds to put the newsletter together. Really, it takes 5 minutes to put the newsletter together, as long as you have content. Yep. And we use a company called Paperly, Paper.li. We pay for a premium subscription. We can customize it, and it looks great. And once you get all these emails, you'll never see, we haven't promoted anything in that email. You never see that we're trying to push any products or anything like that. All it is value. It's value about online marketing, how to become a better seller, better, you know, digital marketing, things that are even not discussed so much even on this podcast. But it just adds value. People see that, and then they start checking out a bit more about you. And, yep. you know, then they, it's a perfect tool if done properly. And guys, I'm not telling you not to subscribe to my email. My email does not suck. It's really good. And if you want to subscribe to it, you can just go to normferrar.com or lunch with Norm and sign up with that email. But there's no soliciting. Like, we don't go we only add value. Just like Wilfred Lightheart says, value, value, value. You know, you can't get engaged. You have to be engaged before you get married. Yes. And yeah, we can definitely continue with what you're saying. I love everything that you're saying so far.
I think you should use that as some sort of a tagline. Lunch with Norm. My email does not suck.
yeah.
Love it. Yeah. But you know, you're right, right? And there's two main types of email that you can send. You can send email campaigns, which are, you know, specific one-time emails sent at a scheduled time. So I want to send an email half an hour from now. I go in, I type it up, I schedule it to go to a particular portion of my list. Or, you know, my favorite type of email, automated email flows, right? These are set and forget, you know, too good to be true, if you like, types of emails that will make you money. And the more you understand your audience and look at the behavior of the people coming through your website, the better you can get these automated flows, because they are based on real data, based on their behavior. So you're not just guessing. You're not just sending out an email to everyone and hoping. You're going to send very specific emails to the right people at the right time. You know, going back to the knitting analogy, suppose you have an arts and crafts brand and you sell products for knitters, sewers, and crocheters. Well, some people might like all three of those, and that's wonderful. You can send them emails about all three topics. But some people might only be interested in one or two, like just knitting or just sewing. And you wouldn't want to send them emails about the wrong topic, because they're not going to get opened. Or they will get opened and then they'll unsubscribe. You don't want that. So what's very powerful is sending the right emails to the right people at the right time results in high open rates, which keeps you in the inbox, right? When you have a low open rate, the email service providers, they know, and they will move your emails into the spam folder or the promotions tab, and you don't want that. But when you're sending the right emails to the right people at the right time, you get high open rates, high click-through rates, and high conversion rates. And this results in getting into the inbox and getting converted.
Very good. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, thank you. I just got my coffee delivered. It's always nice. Thank you, Connie. One of the things I want to talk about too is, if you're not using a Klaviyo and you're trying to do some email marketing on your own and you're putting it through your Gmail account, there's a threat there that you could... you could get blacklisted, or if you have an email account on a shared host, like if you're using HostGator and you're blasting it out, because you might get a spam complaint or a bunch of spam complaints, you're not only your email, but your shared host could get blacklisted, correct?
Yes, absolutely correct. And you also need to be careful about things like GDPR. So like, if you're sending out emails through Gmail, well, where have you got that email address? And do you have permission to send an email to that person?
Right.
Right. Whereas if they've signed up for your, whether it's Klaviyo or MailChimp or, you know, whatever, presumably they've come through either your website's checkout or a legitimate signup form, and you have got permission to send to them. And if, crucially, your email will have an unsubscribe link in the bottom. And the recipient of your email has the opportunity to unsubscribe. Whereas if you're just pinging something out through Gmail, they don't, and you can't do that.
Yeah, that's critical. People, I've seen this. I've tried to unsubscribe from an email, and they have no unsubscribe. And
yep.
Or if they do, they make it so hard, and you've got to answer all these questions, and you can't, they're not optional. Yeah. I mean, these are things that you just report.
Yes.
And, you know, that's where those servers, these are people that don't understand email marketing at all. And, like you were saying, are there any techniques you said going through and having that checkbox, you know, do you, we'll be sending, you know, updates, click the box if you accept or whatever, any type of opt-in. Are there any other opt-in methods that you can use for us? Let's say for the newsletter, it's going to the site and actually giving us your email address, and we'll send you the newsletter. That gives us the opt-in to you know, send out the newsletter to the person, and there's not going to be a problem. What about other types of opt-ins? Do you know of any?
Well, ultimately, to get the email address, you know, they got to give it to you somehow.
Yeah.
So either they're coming through your checkout, and hopefully they've checked out, in which case they're now a customer, or they haven't checked out, in which case they're going to be getting your abandoned cart flow. And then in the future, more emails to hopefully get them to eventually buy from you. So either they're coming through your checkout, or they're coming through some form of opt-in, or, which, you know, on your site, like a pop-up, like an exit intent pop-up, or pop-up that triggers after, you know, 30 seconds or after you scroll. You got to be careful with pop-ups, so it can get very annoying. Or perhaps you've collected their email address from some other marketing technique, like a competition. So for instance, for a product launch, you might have driven people from a Facebook ad into a squeeze page for a competition, collected their email address, where it's been very clear that you're asking permission that you will send, in addition to the results of the competition, you'll be sending them emails, you know, marketing emails and news, etc., about your industry or your brand. So, you know, that's another way to do it. But ultimately, somebody has to give you your email address. And my favorite way to get an email address is to give something in return for the email address, like a lead magnet, right? You know, I see a lot of websites where, so for example, you have a newsletter, right? And people want to sign up for your newsletter because they're interested in this industry. But suppose we're talking about physical products brands. So let's look at the knitting analogy again, right? You're on the website, say it's built on Shopify, and you scroll down in the footer, there's a little box that says, sign up for our newsletter. No one will be signing up for that newsletter.
Right.
No one in the world is interested in signing up for a knitting newsletter. Newsletters are boring. But knitters might want to sign up for a guide on the 10 best practices when knitting a jumper. Right? Give us your email address. We'll ping the ebook PDF over to you. That's going to get a lot more signups than a boring newsletters are really boring. I recorded a video about this the other day. Well, newsletters themselves aren't necessarily boring, but just the offer of signing up for a newsletter in itself is pretty boring. So giving something in exchange, whether it's a series of videos or an ebook or some kind of helpful guide, that will get the email address. And from there, you've got to nurture, providing that free, compelling, helpful, useful, engaging content. And then you hit them with the right hook and you ask for the sale. And that sale will probably be on your website, but you may well be launching a product on Amazon.
We've talked about this on the podcast before, where you could drive people over. Let's say it's just a simple insert over to your website. It could either be a landing page or it could be a pop-up, but where you're going to be giving them, let's say it's shampoo. So, okay, shampoo, here's a free sample of conditioner, but you give something that somebody wants. I've seen, just like you said, so many times I've gone over to a website that's promoting or asking for an email and they give no value.
Yep.
You know, exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, people want a free bar of soap. You know, if you can give them a scent that's not available on Amazon, they're going to give you your email. You're going to send them a free bar of soap, and you're probably going to gain a customer because they are going to love your brand. Yep. Or, you know, you can cross promote, just like you're saying, some, maybe some products that aren't on Amazon or that are on Amazon, and you're giving away a sample, but it's something of value. So
yes.
Yeah, I like that. And what comes with that? How much would you pay for an email address?
I mean, you hear different things. I've heard people say they pay $10 for an email address. I think I don't like sitting on the fence, but I'm going to sit on the fence. The answer is it depends, because it depends on your industry, right? Depends how much, what's your budget, right? What's your marketing budget? What's your margins? Are you selling high-end premium products? Are you selling, you know, more cheap and cheerful products? Neither of those is wrong, but it's certainly going to dictate what you can afford to pay for an email address. At what scale are you doing this? Are you doing this in massive volume or are you not? So yeah, I'm sitting on the fence. The answer is it depends, but certainly an email address is very, very important. And it's important that you recognize that people place a value on their own email address, right? Somebody's inbox is a personal and private place, and they're not going to let you just get access to it for nothing. You have to give them something of value. And that may well mean giving away even product, not just a guide. If you've structured your, funnel, if you like, well enough, you can give away the soap and, you know, get them on the back end with the value ladder, and mm-hmm. play the long game and look at the long-term value of that customer.
Yeah, it's really just building a brand.
Yep, building brand.
And by the way, if I'm on the fence, I just say, how long's a piece of string there?
Huh. Yeah, well, yeah, same thing.
So, okay, just at this time, in case you haven't heard, we're going to be giving away a really great giveaway today. Ben's going to be offering to build you out a email workflow for Klaviyo. And I don't know what that's worth. But you know what? That's an incredible giveaway. If you want to join, just put, there we go, Faye, hashtag we love Ben, and you'll be entered. If you put hashtag we love Ben, and I believe if you tag two people on this call, you'll get an extra entry. Now, one other thing, don't forget, and don't forget to smash those likes. Subscribe, ring bells, whatever we're supposed to do. And Kelsey, I guess I took away your job, but this thing is driving me crazy here. I'm gonna bang my head against the mic. You just get this bloody shock whenever you don't expect it. Like, you know, you put your elbow up here or you put it down, and all of a sudden,
like, you've trapped a nerve, Norm.
I don't know what it is, but I've never had anything like this.
Yeah, you might need to get that checked out. That sounds pretty bad.
Yeah. But, right now I'm fine. I move my arm just a little bit and you'll see it. Like, it'll just shock you. But anyways, that's not the topic for today. I just know I'm not on par today. But all I wanted to do, Kels, was ask people to ring, hit, smash, do whatever you're supposed to do. There you go.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, I got you. Have a ton of questions coming in.
Good. Let's get to those questions.
Yeah, I know we're on a bit of a timeline today. So.
Oh, yeah, we have 10 minutes. Is that it?
Yeah, about that.
Okay.
Yeah, so if we can just run through these a few. From Faye, I know I've joined a little bit late, so I'm sorry if this was discussed already. I'll listen to the entire episode later, but how do you quickly build up a big email list, say for someone who doesn't sell on Amazon, so you can't drive traffic over to Shopify?
So you're not selling on Amazon, but you do have a Shopify site. Is that right? Have I interpreted that correctly?
I believe so.
Okay. So you need to get in front of, so who is your customer, right? You need to understand who your customer is and where are they, and then get in front of them. So let's do the knitting analogy again, because I like it. Perhaps they're in knitting groups, okay? So join knitting groups, provide value to those groups over time, right? This is not going to, you can't do this straight off the bat, right? Provide value to those groups. Ask permission from the people who own the groups to link your competition to those groups and drive people from those groups to the competition, whereupon you'll put them in the squeeze page and have their email address. You can run from that. You're going to have an audience, right? Build a lookalike audience from that. Now you've got the people who are really interested in knitting, and run ads to the same competition. And you can just do straight up Facebook ads to people who like knitting, right? But I'm a big fan of lookalike audiences. Build your own group, right? Run ads to get likes on your page, your knitting page. Add those people to your group. Get them to know, like, and trust you in the group where you're providing free, helpful, compelling, engaging, useful knitting content. Get their email address for a competition or some other lead magnet, like an ebook, from the group to your site. Boom, you've got their email address. The possibilities are endless, right? I mean, you know, the easy answer is just, oh, we'll just run Facebook ads, but that's going to get very expensive. So, you know, you need to think about other ways. It's about building the audience. I'm a big fan of building your own audience. So try and build a Facebook group.
Okay.
All right.
And from Dr. Kaz, what's your opinion of grabbing an email for monthly deal access?
I'm not quite sure what you mean. Are you saying you're going to offer a monthly deal? I think that's what you're saying. You're going to offer a monthly deal to those people. That's fine. You, I mean, your list is going to basically get trained to know that you're doing a deal every month. So they're only going to buy from you at the end of the month. But if that's, if you've worked that into your business model, then there's absolutely fine. But just be aware that your open rates might get pretty low if you're just kind of hammering people once a month to buy your stuff. Make sure that you're also providing people with free, helpful, compelling, engaging, useful content.
From Manny, what about the ads in your email account? I've been seeing lately a lot more pictures. So I guess the content in the emails?
Pictures in emails are great. A picture paints a thousand words. I like to sprinkle in a good mixture of really nice organic feeling emails that are pretty much plain text. Looks like it was just written in Gmail. Often those are signed off from the founder of the business. And then mix that in with more branded content. So for instance, a thank you email might be something that you send with no pictures at all on it. It's basically plain text. But then everybody knows that the email that you're sending for your end of season sale is from the brand as a whole, and you haven't typed it out personally. So make that nice and sparkly and branded with some nice pictures.
Okay, great. Can e-com brokers help with an email campaign to get pre-orders for a product launch on Kickstarter?
E-com brokers can't, because that's my e-commerce brokerage, but I can. So if you want to sell your business, e-com brokers can help you with that. But if you want help with email, that's more my kettle of fish. So if you want email support, head over to benlender.pro, where we can talk about, you know, that type of thing. And e-com brokers is the brokerage.
Okay. And we'll make sure that we post that in the notes as well.
Yep. Okay. And from Nicholas, do you set up a Facebook pixel to know who visited your email list page but didn't enter the email to retarget them, or the opposite? Can you somehow analyze their behavior, conclude that they're not the kind to subscribe to an email list, and stop marketing to them?
You could do that. So suppose you had a landing page on your site. You could pixel that and then build an audience of the people who are pixeled but not in your email list. And there's multiple ways to do that. We'd have to get pretty technical to talk about it. And you could retarget them. They would be reasonably warm leads since they've been on your site, but there was probably a reason that they didn't enter their email address. Now, that could be simply because they were too busy and the phone rang, or it could be because they decided they weren't interested. So yeah, you'd have to play around with that. But hopefully it'd be pretty warm traffic, so that would be pretty cheap to retarget.
Okay. This is from Rad. I have basic Klaviyo for my Shopify's store, but I'm not getting any inquiries. What should I have to do? Do I have to get a subscription to Klaviyo to get an inquiry from customers?
You don't need to have a paid Klaviyo account to start using Klaviyo. So if you've correctly hooked Klaviyo up to your Shopify site, people coming through your checkout should be landing in your Klaviyo list. And, you know, Bob's your uncle. And if they're not coming through your checkout, then you, and again, you don't need a paid account to do this. You can put either pop-ups or embedded forms on your site to subscribe them to a list. For example, in exchange for a helpful, free, compelling, engaging, useful lead magnet.
From Tony, Klaviyo does not allow YouTube videos to be embedded in the email. Is the deliverability of the video the main issue?
Probably yes. And I would not recommend embedding videos in emails. I know people are now thinking that it's all the rage. I find it annoying as a reader of email. And in my opinion, you know what's way better than video and email? Plain text. You know, just sending somebody an email, right? With a link to something that's useful, which could be a YouTube link, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to put the video in the email.
Okay. We just got a couple more. From Frey, something I've always wondered about. If I'm launching something on Amazon and can use more sales for the launch, should I send my Shopify customers to Amazon?
Absolutely. Yes, you should. Do not worry about somehow losing those customers in the future. Oh, they're only going to always go back to Amazon now. Well, some of them might. Most of them won't. And even if they did, it doesn't matter. They're still going to buy from you. You've still got their email address anyway. So if you want to get them back to your site, do a wonderful offer to get them back to your site. Yes, you should drive them to your site, to Amazon for your launch.
Okay. And I believe this is the last one from Bronwyn. Does buying email lists work if I combine with an organically built list?
I'm not a fan of buying lists for physical products. It depends what you're doing. I wouldn't do it. I think an organic list of people who are genuinely interested in your brand because it solves a problem that they're a pain point that they're experiencing is much better. I wouldn't buy a list. You can do like a collaboration, right? So if there's a bigger brand than you or another brand in your space who you can cross-pollinate with, whose customers would be interested in what you're doing, do that, right? If you feel like your organic list isn't big enough. But I wouldn't buy a list.
Okay, and this is for Norm. Norm, you know my product. What would you suggest as an insert 20% discount on next purchases? Got very few takers.
Yeah. It might be, Andrew, is that you might want to take a look at some other form of value added. If you didn't get the taker with a 20%, that's a lot, by the way. I'd probably take a look at something else. We can discuss this afterwards, but is there anything that you can offer that, like, for example, we're doing this product right now. It's a beverage. And it's recipes, or we're doing a knife, and we've sent it out to chefs to provide us with different recipes, a video archive of recipes, and that's something that's offered, you know, to get an email. And we get actually quite a few from just the recipe book, which is kind of interesting. I didn't think we'd have that kind of result, but we're building it out more and more and more and more. The other thing, like with the one knife, we offer a smaller knife, or a cheaper knife for free. And they'll see that it's a $40 knife on Amazon, but they're buying a $200 knife to go with it. So it's great for us. We get the email and it's well worth it. And also the cost of goods is very, very inexpensive on that. But yeah, we could definitely talk about that more, Andrew. And I don't know if you've got anything further to say about that, but I think it's right along the lines of what you were saying, Ben.
Yep. I can't disagree. I love that, by the way, giving away the $40 knife. Because when people go on Amazon and they see that, it's just the perceived value of that. Well, the actual value of that, not just perceived, is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine the conversion rate there is excellent.
It is. Yeah. All right. So we are running out of time. Kelsey, can you do the Wheel of Kelsey?
Okay. And before we get started, I just wanted to say, again, if you're interested in Ben, email marketing, if you want to ask him a question, here's his website here. And then if you have any questions about the brokerage, I put the link in the comments as well for the e-com brokers, as well as e-com brokers are going to waive their listing fee for anyone who quotes the Lunch with Norm podcast, as well as you can get a free ebook for how to prepare your e-com business for sale. And that link put in the comments as well.
All you have to do is provide your email address.
Exactly.
There you go.
go.uk/lunch.
Yeah. So I put the comments here and let's get to the wheel. Okay. There we go. So I'll mix everyone's names up. There we go. 3, 2, 1. Bronwyn.
Oh, there we go. All right. Fantastic. Congrats.
Okay. So Bronwyn, if you can send me your information to k@lunchwithnorm.com or just send me a message on Facebook and we'll hook you up with Ben.
I think that's the first time you won. So that's awesome.
Yeah. We get a lot of repeat winners. So it's nice to have someone new.
The wheel is rigged.
Yeah. There's like conspiracy going on in the group right
yeah.
now.
Okay. So I know that you're on a tight timeline today. Wanted to thank you, Ben, for coming on. Hope you can come back. I mean, there's so much we can talk about.
Yeah.
And yeah, I could spend easily another hour or two with you. So really appreciate it. I'm going to reach out to you probably today or tomorrow just to talk to you about a few other things about email. And anyways, thank you. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for such a great giveaway.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
And I hope your shoulder feels better soon.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy today. So
yeah, get that looked at.
I'm not usually this bad when I'm interviewing somebody.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening and putting up with me today. But that's the end of our podcast. Ben was awesome. Just, you know, check him out. Go to his website. Check him out. And Bronwyn, you got a great giveaway. So congrats again. Kelsey, what would you like to add?
So, yeah, first off, I can't believe it's been like 9 or 10 months that we've never talked about email marketing on here before. So
I know.
I think a lot of people really did enjoy the topic. So, yeah, I think we got to have Ben back. But, yeah, like and smash those buttons. Share this video out to your friends. Maybe they need some help with their emails. But you can find all of the episodes, daily clips, on the YouTube channel, Norman Farrar, or you can just search Lunch with Norm. You'll be able to find it. Or, Lunch with Norm. But we have our weekly clubhouse on Mondays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern
Except
time.
For this one.
Except for next week, which we have a special Lunch with Norm. There's no 12 o'clock Lunch with Norm episode on Monday. It is being moved to 2 o'clock. We have a very special guest, Rand Fishkin from Moz, and he's going to be talking with us on Monday. So it's going to be changed up a little bit. So it's kind of conflicting with our clubhouse. So we're not going to do a clubhouse on Monday. But yeah, it should be really fun.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. And Meryl, yes, I am getting old. And that's why this happened. Okay. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We're going to be having another guest on, when is it, Friday? We're going to be talking about retail arbitrage, wholesale resale, reselling, and private label. So join us then. Until that time, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Eastern Standard Time at noon. And thank you, everybody. And we will talk to you soon. 100, 100, 100.